From JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Very good morning, Mike.
We're going to be having a word with Carrie from the airport very shortly. She's after a lot of dough.
A lot of money. Everyone loves talking about the airport, don't they?
They love talking about it. They don't like the airport itself.
Everyone's got a story or a view and experience, and they are often in the news, be it for, you know, traffic or queues or airline charges. And yes, it carries on because you're right, they're raising a sort of money and a heck of a lot of it as well. $1.4 billion, in fact. So it's one of the largest capital raisings we've seen on the NZX in quite some time. So $1.2 billion, that is, Mike, is what we call an institutional placement. So that's to big investors. So that is or has been going on through the last 24 hours, and then the balance. $200 million is going to retail investors, so that will happen over a more extended period from the 19th of September to October the 4th, if you're a shareholder, so you've got time if you're a retail investor out there that owns airport shares. Look, the airport sort of potential requirement for future funding has been talked about quite a lot, and we now know that they are spending $6.6 billion on the what they call the planned aeronautical capital investment program. A key element of that is the new domestic jet terminal. That's part of the terminal integration program. For those of you that aren't familiar with Auckland Airport, the domestic and international jet terminals aren't in the same place. So they're going to bring the domestic jet terminal and the international jet terminal together. So Hawkins, which is a subsidiary of Downer EDI, it's announced yesterday they've been awarded an $800 million contract to deliver the build on that new terminal. Now, what's happening here, Mike, is that the airport needs funding, and if they want to retain their current credit rating, and they've got a credit rating of A- from S&P, which is a very good credit rating, they've made the call to bolster the amount of equity they have. So this is share capital. They could have done it with debt, where they just go out and borrow money, but if you do that, you weaken the balance sheet. So as expected, has been talked about for some time, they've gone for a share capital raise or an equity raise. The shares are being offered at $6.95 a share in the institutional placement. That is underwritten, so they know they will be successful. Now, on Friday, the share price goes at $7.48, so it is a bit of a discount. The retail offer is slightly different, but the share price won't be over $6.95. And there's a lot of details around the eligibility, which are interesting. You can go to the website. It's all on there. Look, lifting of aeronautical charges, that's been a subject of real debate. And I did note that yesterday a couple of other airports have attracted new international routes. And you can read into that what you will. And whether or not, I suppose, the airport would need to raise the equity was previously also a subject of debate. Well, now you have your answer. Another sort of topic lurking in the background, Mark, is the council is still a shareholder. If they do not want to be diluted, they will need to decide whether or not they want to stump up, which would, it's quite a lot. I think it's over $100 million to keep their current position. That'll be a story. They don't need this money or for the capital work straight away. They've gone a little bit earlier than had been expected. So that's, I suppose, another point of interest as well.
Okay, so manufacturing services, what's the read? What do we look like?
Yeah, well, high-frequency data like this, Mike, they were commented on quite prominently in the recent RBNZ monetary policy statement in the sense that they'd all turned negative quite recently, and that sort of supported the decision to reduce the official cash rate. And the PMI and the PSI Manufacturing Services Index, they were specifically noted. So we pay attention to this data. Manufacturing released on Friday, there was a small improvement there. It is conceivable, Mike, that we've seen past the low point in the cycle there for manufacturing, but I expect the recovery will be slow. That was 45.8 from 44.4. Long-term average is 52.6, so it's still well below. But the sub-indexes are moving in the right direction. Performance of Services Index was released yesterday. 45.5 is the headline number. That's plus 0.3, so that's a fairly anemic rise. Still firmly in contraction. The long-term average there is 53.2. New orders at 46.6. That actually dipped slightly from July. Employment did lift, so there's a little bright spark in there. It adds at its highest level since March. The services sector, as per this data series, Mike, is in the longest continuous period of decline or contraction since the GFC. So that includes the COVID period. We all are also still very much a global outlier. The global average is at 53.8. So I guess if you remain focused on the sort of what the RBNZ is going to do next, the 25 or 50 point move, probably the PMI PSI, if you're in the 50 point camp, they probably support your case. Okay. GDP though, I think that's going to be key. Thursday, we wait for that.
Cannot wait. Numbers, please.
The Dow Jones is up 181 points, 0.44% to start the week, 41575. The S&P 500 is flat, 5626, and the NASDAQ is down 0.64% at 17,577 as we speak. Overnight, there was a small lift in the FTSE 100, just 5 points there. The Nikkei fell 0.68%, 36,851. Shanghai Composite down just under 0.5%, 2704. About a 0.25% lift in the ASX 200 yesterday to 8121, and the NZX 50 lost 1%. Falling 128 points, 12,704. Kiwi dollar, 0.6191 against the US, 0.9176 Aussie, 0.5565 against the euro, 0.4687 against the pound. 87.08 Japanese yen is what $1 will get you. Gold still up there at all-time highs, $2,582. And Brent crude, unfortunately, has bounced back, sitting at $72.84, but still sort of low enough.
All right, good on you. See you tomorrow. Andrew Keller at jmiwealth.co.nz.